Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob here, and just a bit of an announcement as I set up the podcast that is going to be hosted today by Josh Wigler as I begin my little bit of paternity leave as Nicole and I get ready to bring baby number two into the world, hopefully beginning that process on Thursday morning. So Josh is going to be talking to the latest player voted out of Survivor, Andrew Savage, and that should be a very interesting conversation. And I do appreciate Josh stepping in to do so here on our Exit Interview podcast. Also, Josh is going to be having a recap podcast later on in the day with Marty Piombo. So I hope you go ahead and check that out too. Before we get into the Exit Interview, I just want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are friends over at TrueCar, because, you know, there's an old way to play Survivor and a new school way to play Survivor. And there's also an old way and a new way to go shopping for a brand new car. And the old way is really inconvenient, but the new way is going on TrueCar.com or using the TrueCar mobile app, because you could pick out all the features you want in your brand new car, pick them out, and then see what other people are paying for the same exact car down to the zip code. People are saving over $3,000 off of MSRP just by going to TrueCar.com or using the TrueCar mobile app without any of the hassles or the headaches you would expect with the old school way of going shopping for a car. It's how car buying was always meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and there's over 10,000 dealers in the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. You'll work directly with one of the TrueCar Certified Dealers when you visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app and start saving. TrueCar, never overpay. And here is Josh Wigler with your Exit Interview with Andrew Savage.
Everybody, what's going on? Josh Wigler here, your substitute Survivor know-it-all for the season, and now I'm your substitute Cesternino for the day. Rob, as you guys probably know, if you listen to know-it-alls or if you listen to Rob talk about what's going on today before I came on here, Rob and Nicole are hopefully hard at work at bringing in baby Cesternino number two into this world. Very, very exciting stuff. Wishing them all the best. Lots of good vibes. Send it their way. But there's still business at hand. Still podcasting to be done. Still Survivor to talk about. And today we got a real level one episode of Survivor that we need to do some post-game analysis on. Had a really fun show on Know-It-Alls last night with Rob and I breaking down the downfall of Andrew Savage, blasted out of the game on a crazy idol play from Kelly Wentworth. So many questions to ask Mr. Savage here. Thank you all. Tons of you wrote in to me, tweeted me, and gave me great question suggestions, so we're going to unleash as many of those as humanly possible on Savage in just a few seconds here. Later today, I'm going to be speaking with Marty Piombo. In fact, I'm going to be talking to him like 5 minutes after I get off the phone with Savage. So it's a really jam-packed day. And then after I talk to Marty, I'm going to be talking to Savage again for my own interviews that I do at Parade.com. So really, it's all Survivor all the time right now. It's a good time to be alive. If you want to see those Parade articles later, there's an easy link on robhaswebsite.com/parade. Gets you to all my stuff over there. Hope you read it. Hope you like it. I don't know when I will have the time to write it, but when I do, I'm very excited to tackle that. But for now, let's turn the mic over to Savage. Let's ask him some of these questions. Let's try and make sense out of his exit. I see we've got Savage on the line. Andrew, are you there?
Hey, Josh. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Hey, I just want to say that I listen to you and Rob and the Survivor Know-It-Alls when I have a chance, and you guys are good. You're very entertaining.
Hey, thanks so much. I mean, it's a ton of fun. It's tough to unpack these episodes immediately after they air, and especially this season is just so crazy. So there's a lot going on. It's a fun time, but there's a ton going on.
Yeah, well, you guys do a great job. It's a tough job. As you said, it's so complex, and then when you break it down more often than not, you guys get it right. You do it in an entertaining way. So I enjoy it.
Well, thanks so much, and I'll pass that along to Rob, who wishes he could be cool. Here. Him and Nicole, they're working on bringing baby number two into the world. So knock on some wood if you got some handy.
You got it, man. There's more important things in this life than Survivor, and that's one of them for sure.
For sure, for sure. All right, so let's talk about what happened last night, because it was a jaw-dropper. I mean, it was a really, really stunning moment. What was it like re-experiencing that, watching the episode last night?
Yeah, it was absolutely stunning. It was devastating. It was exhilarating. And it just, you know, it's that situation where it rips off the band-aids, it just reopens these gaping wounds. And if you love Survivor like we do, that's an incredible thing. It was an incredible experience watching that with my family last night. It was also just horrible. I mean, when Wentworth pauses, looks at her bag, thinks for a second, do I play it? And then she says she's playing it. I look at Jeremy, he looks at me, and it's that, you know, holy S-H-I-T moment.
Yes.
That was just brilliant. And then, of course, racing through my mind is, they have to take out Jeremy, right? He's this young stud. He's a physical threat. They're not going to come after me. I'm the old guy, you know? And I'm thinking back, see, I wrote my name once, last tribal. Oh, shit. And just to see that play out was, again, so much fun and so agonizing.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, I asked a bunch of people to send their questions in for this interview because I'm going to be talking to you again in a couple hours. So yeah. a lot to cover with you between you and I today. So the top question on the board from people who wrote in. I mean, the real top question on the board was everyone wants to know more about Mrs. Savage. But I'll let you keep that stuff private. But gameplay question is why you didn't split the votes last night? Was that discussed? What was the philosophy behind that?
We did. We discussed it. As you know, Josh, you guys have talked a lot about the splitting the votes is a very risky business. It can easily work against you. A handful of votes can switch and folks can go home if you make a mistake. The other thing about splitting votes, as we did with Cass and Sierra, is an absolutely exhausting exercise. We spent a couple hours, the core group, deciding and how do we split the votes and making sure everyone's crystal clear on who they're voting, if they're voting Cass or Sierra, and orchestrating that. Took a couple hours and it's exhausting. So what you didn't see is, yes, we discussed splitting the votes. One of my toes was ravaged by a poison spider. It was horribly infected. I was very sick and I didn't have the mental energy to go through that exercise again. And everyone was feeling fatigued. And what we said was, first of all, when two people knew idols weren't playing, it's Wentworth and Jeremy, and they didn't tell a soul.
Right. They sat on that completely.
Yeah, which is brilliant, right? But Joe and Tosh and I, Fishback, we all spent hours looking for idols. Every reward challenge, we scoured through every piece of reward looking for clues. Nothing. There was no indication whatsoever. So we thought, Wentworth isn't going to expect it. Let's load up on Wentworth. Sierra's probably thinking she's going home. And the likelihood of Wentworth having an idol is probably pretty slim. So let's load her up with 9 votes, send her the message, and let's just be done with it around the camp and around the hammock area. And we said, yeah, let's do that. And it was everyone's in consensus. Yeah. And it was that horrible, horrible miscalculation on my part that, you know, split the votes, yes. And other stuff was Joe and I were absolutely locked and loaded to go after Fishback. That was the plan.
Yeah, you guys had been talking that through. It seemed like you had a bunch of people that were on board, even Sierra and Wentworth. They were game to do it. And then it seemed like it just went away by Jeremy talking to you. If you and Joe were so gung-ho against Fishback, why did the target leave Stevens back?
Well, because there was a lot more discussion than you see, of course. But so Jeremy, his thought was, look, Wentworth is a physical threat. If you look at Sierra and Abby, they're never going to win a challenge. Wentworth actually has that capability. So why don't we strike while the iron's hot, get rid of her, and then we can take our Fishback in the next tribal. He's not going to win immunity either. And so let's just focus on Wentworth, and she's the biggest threat in terms of the folks at the bottom. And he made a convincing case. And if it were up to me, which it wasn't, right? This is a group decision. If it were up to me, Joe and I would have just taken out Fishback and had been done with it. And so that's the way it played out. And I said to Jeremy, I said, okay, cool. We'll take out Wentworth this tribal, and we'll take out Fishback next tribal, and then we'll take out Abby and Sierra, whichever order, doesn't matter. And then we'll reconvene and we'll figure out, you know, the stack ranking.
Right. You know, there's this great pregame Dalton Ross video where he's polling everybody about who they want to see voted out first, and you say Steven's name, and Steven says your name. So just from even before the game began, there were targets on each other's backs from both of you guys. And we saw it leak into the show a little bit, that there were moments where it did not seem like there was a lot of love lost between you and Steven. What was that about? What was it about Steven that was rubbing you the wrong way out there?
Yeah, we hit the beach, the Bayonne Beach, and Steven comes running up to me like a little kid, and he's not a good actor, and he says, oh my gosh, Sarah, I can't believe I get to play the game with you. I saw you in Pearl Island. You were amazing. You were the man. You led the tribe. Outback, you know, Outcast was sucked. It wasn't fair. You're amazing. Can't wait to just get to know you and hang out with you. And I looked at him, and Josh, it just wasn't genuine. He's not a great actor, and I honestly, I thought he was full of baloney. first strike against him, I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it at all. I just felt that he was setting me up. The next thing, he says, I'm going to go get some firewood. He goes on this little trail and comes back 45 minutes later, whatever, and he has like two twigs. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. So I went down the same trail. 10 minutes later, I had an armful of firewood. There's firewood everywhere. So he's looking for an idol, which is totally okay. But at that stage of the game, it's tribe on tribe. We have enormous work to do in terms of building shelter. You know, I'm old school survivor. Building shelter, find a food source, get the water, that kind of thing. And he just told me he's looking out for himself. He doesn't give a rat's ass about the rest of us and the tribe. And that's totally okay. But if you take those two elements, and then I did my research on Stephen. He's a brilliant strategist. And okay, but if you take those three things, I didn't trust him. And he had done nothing to indicate to me that he is trustworthy. And, you know, I like Steve. I consider him a friend. But in the game, he was sending me signals that he's not to be trusted. And that was the basis for my side interviews of wanting to target Steven.
On the complete and opposite flip side, you love Joey Amazing. You're a big, big Joey Amazing fan. You guys bonded out there. And you even said last night on the show, you swore to him you would never write his name down ever. Were you going to hold to that? How far were you going to see that through? All the way to the top if you could?
Yeah, you know, and that, I'll tell you honestly, Josh, I am really not made to play Survivor. I'm so old school, right? I'm loyal to a fault, and my wife will tell you the same thing. And when I said to Joe I would never write his name down, I absolutely meant it. And I would, I'm telling you, I would jump on the grenade. And for Joe, I would do the same for Jeremy and Tosh, the four of us. And that's, I'm an idiot when it comes to that element of the game. I'm too loyal, but I can't seem to overcome that. And so, yes, I absolutely meant it. And to this day, I meant it, especially when I raise, you know, I bring up my girls. I swear anything on my girl's life, I'm never going to not do that.
Well, you would have been a very popular dad in the Savage household if you had been able to see that through. I think you would have scored some serious points.
Yeah, it's a fascinating game, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you said the same thing to Spencer too on Takeo after that vote that you tried to swing his way didn't go through. Now, was that honest when you said to Spencer, "I won't write your name down," or was that a lie on your part, a moment of desperation?
Yeah, that was so. That at the moment, that was the truth, absolutely. But I thought, you know what, I needed to do it, and down the road, if I broke that promise, I broke that. If I had to go the other way and vote him out, I would probably be okay with that. But at the time, I absolutely meant it, and it was the right thing to do. And I thought, look, there's a lot of folks left in this game. If we get to the merge, and you know, 9, 12, 15 days down the road, I have to go back on that promise, I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
But at the time, I absolutely meant it. And I also had, you didn't see this, but I actually asked, once we figured out how to blindside Spencer, asked Ben, that was, say, on day one of the Meet Takeo. We didn't go to tribal till the evening of the second or third day on the Meet Takeo. In between that time, I spent an enormous amount of time with Spencer. I got to know him as a person. And I realized that he's actually this incredible young man. And I really enjoyed our time together and getting to know him. And I had that old shit moment that I was like, I can't believe we're going to blindside this kid. I actually want to work with him. He is an incredible survivor. And so that was difficult. So when I did shake his hand, I was drawing upon the Spencer that I got to know, and I absolutely meant it.
Yeah. You know, you did have that moment with him where you were trying to pull the wool over his eyes, and that was, you know, that was some survivor scheming on your part. However, there were moments on the show and last night when you saw Fishback, he was conspiring to get out Joe, and you called something like that disgusting to you. What's the dichotomy? You know, what's the difference between what you were doing and what Steven was doing, and why such a strong word toward the survivor scheming aspect of the game?
Yeah, and my daughters were laughing at me last night, just so you know, Josh. They said, yeah, it's only disgusting when it's scheming against you, Dad. I'm like, of course. If I'm doing it, it's not disgusting. It's part of the game. So,
right.
So sure. There's no excuse for it. The double standard. It's a pure double standard. And it's Survivor, right? So when I said it was disgusting, yes, that's an absolutely strong and powerful word. It sends a message. And when I'm well-rested and had a full meal, I wouldn't use the word disgusting.
Right.
But when everything is so raw out there and you're working so hard to stay in the game, when you find out the suspect is scheming against you, I found it disgusting.
Yeah. But, you know, raw, I think raw is probably a better word than what I was using to describe you the other night, which was cranky pants. Cause you know, you're wagging the finger. You're doing it twice. You're dropping F bombs. This isn't, you know, the savage that I think that many people expect to see. You looked a little rough around the edges in your final two episodes, especially. What did that come down to? How would you describe it? Where was that agitation seemingly coming from?
Yeah, I was at wit's end. It's the second try and swap. I'm in each TKO tribe. I thought I was in a good situation. I had Cass and Sierra from the original Bions, and then, you know, we were in the majority. Maybe not so much Cass, but Sierra was top six of Bion. I had Wu and Abby, and we just gone through Hell and Anchor together, and then we were pretty close. So I thought that I was in a good situation. And Cass, for 6 days on the original Bion tribe, said at least 10 times a day, "You got to get Spencer out. Got to get Spencer out. He's going to win this whole thing." So when we show up in the TKO tribe, astoundingly, Spencer and Wiggles go to get water, and it takes about a half hour on the other end of the cove. So I just go up to Cass, and I said, "Do you want to do what you've been preaching for 6 days on Bion, which is get rid of Spencer? Do you want to do that?" She's like, "Oh, absolutely. Let's do that." At that point, we had about 10 minutes left for Spencer and Wiggles because they were coming back with the water, and you could see them coming. And everyone's waffling in terms of what's the strategy, how do we do this? So I just, you know, my bad for offering up Sierra as the decoy, but we were running out of time, and I just wanted to lock it down and be done with it because Spencer is a huge threat. And so I offered up Sierra, and then all hell broke loose. And the frustration was, it was the perfect plan. I mean, how you don't take out Spencer, who is a great survivor player, how you don't take him out when you had the numbers and he's in the crosshairs is beyond me. I honestly don't understand that, especially when you have his nemesis, which is Cass, and she would just love to get him out. So my answer in terms of I'm at wit's end, it was the perfect plan to take out Spencer, and it should have been executed, and it wasn't. Instead, Wu's blindsided, and all hell is breaking loose now in my mind because I'm next. And yeah. I worked so hard in Angkor to flip the tribe with Tosh, and I was in a good spot, a second tribe swap, and I'm so frustrated because I thought we had Spencer out, which would have confirmed that Sierra and Cass are still with us, and the merge is coming, Bion strong, and then I get the rug ripped out from under me. And it scared the heck out of me, right? Because I worked so hard, and I knew the merge was coming 3-6 days, and I thought, again, I'm going to have the same result as Pearl Island. So I'm going to get loaded out. I'm going to miss the jury, and it's going to haunt me, and it's going to be miserable. So I do the side interview, and, you know, I drop expletives about Cass and Sierra, and, you know, some fingers. I stand by that stuff. That's the side interviews is the survivor's opportunity confidentially to vent, right? And I was venting. I never thought in a million years that would make the edit, because I usually don't show swearing like that. But that was what I was going through. That's part of the story. And it was very raw for me. And was it appropriate? Probably not. But in the situation and what I was going through, that's part of my story. And it is what it is. And, you know, flipping, you know, Abby Maria, who we were tight for a certain spell of the game, when she snickers at me, maybe she made the jury, I lost it. I mean, I just had my heart ripped out. My second chance was done. There's no outcast to us, right? I'm walking out, and she has the audacity to just skewer me with that little snicker. I couldn't help myself, Josh. I just turned around and just, I couldn't help it. So
yeah. I mean, there's,
would I do it again? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would do the same thing. I couldn't help it. That's just who I am. But she's not a bad person, but, you know, poke the bear, I guess.
Totally. So, I mean, it's interesting. There is no outcast twist, and this is a different season. But there have been some eerie parallels for people who played on this season between their first seasons and Second Chance. And a big one for you is in Pearl Islands, you lost the game on day 21. And in this one, you lost the game on day 21 as well. Both of them, the consequence of some, you know, the outcast twist is unforeseen, and the idol is a new wrinkle in the game since you've played the first time. Have you reflected on that in terms of what that means to you, what sort of signs you take from that?
Yeah, the sign I take from that is, it's, look, I'm in favor of idols. It's part of the game. It's well known. And I made a mistake, right? I made a mistake in not insisting on, first of all, taking Fish back out. And could I have convinced Jeremy and Tosh and the rest to go with me and Joe and take out Fishback? Probably. But, you know, I made an error. And I also know that somebody in my alliance tipped off Wentworth that she was going home. And, you know, I don't want to say who, but you can.
Well, I think it's out there, actually. Sierra was tweeting about it. I think Wentworth was talking about it in social media that they heard from Joe that that Wentworth was going to be the target. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, look, Joe is a very close friend of mine, and he blew it, right? He made a mistake. He didn't think Wentworth had an idol, and he feels horribly about it. So it was unfortunate. If we didn't tell Wentworth, if we just would have kept our mouth shut and not said anything, I would have still been in the game. It's one of those unfortunate, you know, Survivor is so fascinating and so complex. One little slip like that and somebody goes home. And it is what it is.
Yeah, well, so, he can make it up to you by being at, like, the birthday parties and signing all the swag. He's got those Joey Amazing shirts. He can make some personalized ones out to the Savage family. I think that should be fun.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to make up for it, but
that's fine. All right, Andrew, I'll let you go. I'm going to talk to you again in about 2 hours, but thanks for stopping by the podcast and listening to Know It Alls and all of that stuff, and really fun to see you on the show this season. Sorry it didn't work out better for you.
All right, thank you, Josh. I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, there you go. That's Andrew Savage on Josh Has Rob's podcast. Pretty good stuff from Savage, I thought. You know, I think that he owned a lot of his failings in the game. Interesting to get his take on the fact that he was going to go all the way to the end with Joey Amazing. Again, I repeat, I think his daughters would have been very happy with that result. So lots of good stuff from Savage. I'll be talking to him again. By the time you're listening to this, I probably will have already spoken to him again for Parade. Again, you can check that stuff out at robhaswebsite.com/parade, or you can follow me on Twitter @RoundHoward. I'll tweet out all the links to that. I gotta hop off here. I gotta hop on the phone with Marty Piombo of Survivor Nicaragua. We're gonna dissect everything that happened in this most recent episode. Really can't wait to talk to that guy. So hope you guys enjoy that show when it comes out a little bit later. And until then, take care, everybody. Bye.
Andrew Savage, Andrew Savage.